What the fuck is up, duelists, and welcome to Pod of Greed, the world's number one and only Yu-Gi-Oh! Podcast sponsored by Kaiba Corp. I'm Max, and are you dueling with an expired license?
I'm Argyle, a.k.a. Gussie.
I'm Dan, and I'm checking and turning my signal to the left.
And I'm Audrey, a.k.a. you're going to die because you're losing to duel. I'm going to die because I'm not winning. We are not the same.
We're back at it. Mm-hmm. We're watching more 5Ds. I'm beginning to really like this kind of spate of episodes. Of just like...
Yeah.
Things happen that don't directly forward the plot, but are just like very nice, fun character episodes.
Yeah, they're very characterful.
I would argue that I think the difference here is that the plot is never not being thought about.
Yeah.
Like, it is always a constant in the background. It
took them long enough.
That, right? I mean, like, compare with, like, GX, right? Where you had filler episodes that were, like,
They were just doing shit in GX.
Yes. Just, like, absolutely totally removed. So, like... It's kind of nice, actually, to have things where it's like things are still happening. Daily life goes on, but the Grand Prix is still happening. Like, Ghost is still a thing. So those are always in the background, regardless of what's the focus of the episodes.
I think what's important to me about, like, these episodes is, like, it doesn't have to be plot, but it is relevant, you know? It informs us of the world and
it tells us things about the characters.
Yeah, it informs us about the world and the characters that are, provide a more cohesive whole to the thing. Like a really good side quest.
And also, who knows? Maybe, you know, Aki becoming... a turbo duelist will become important, I say hopefully, with an air of naive optimism.
I think it's not nothing. Yeah, I think that one ties more directly into the plot than the second episode.
Right.
I mean, especially because of what happens at the end, right? Like, we get a pretty direct, like, this has to do with the main plot.
Yeah. But this is episode 75 of 5Ds. Aki Izayoi, Acceleration.
Season 2, Episode 11, Acceleration.
Sure is, buddy.
The first five minutes of this episode are literally Team Aki's blasting off again.
This is so funny. Also, okay. Question for the dub watchers out the gate.
Yep.
Scale of 1 to 10, how much cleavage is Aki showing in her cool racing outfit? Cool. We're like at an 8.
Yeah,
there's chest on display, but they've erased the cleavage line as they do always with Aki.
Odd.
Oh, the mono boob. I feel like that would be really bad in this particular one. They must have done more than just erase the line because it is like deep. They must have brought that up.
She's rocking with at least twice as much cleavage as she usually is, which isn't nothing.
Yeah.
Like, she's walking around in, like, a fucking Evangelion plug suit, basically.
Uh-huh.
But to be clear, the zipper is down basically at nipple height.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she's breasting boobily, and Crow does wolf whistle at her, like, at the very beginning of the episode. I'm slapping him on the wrists. He's not allowed to do this.
It's interesting, because he wolf whistles, but, like, not in... a perverted way. Like, it's weird. He's just like, wow, you look good in that getup.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I like Jack's line of, everyone looks good in the right clothes.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking at her on the Yu-Gi-Oh! Wiki, and yeah, there's a lot here, going on here.
But
I wouldn't say that they hiked up the suit at all. No, they just erased the line.
Okay, they just gave her a weird speed bump.
That's nuts.
That's worse.
Yeah. Because that's worse. Usually,
no, that's usually... boobs, Audrey.
Oh. Because usually when they do it, it's, like, high enough up that it's sort of excusable to not have the cleavage line there, where it's like, all right, fine, fair, whatever. But, yeah. like, that, they just gave her a monoboob. That's
yeah.
wild.
Poor Aki. Wow. Yeah. It's where her psychic power stored.
Yeah.
Just like pee is stored in the balls, psychic power is stored in the tit, in the monoboob.
Yeah, right. In the tit, singular.
Yeah.
Yusei is very nice, though. He, like, fixed up a whole D-wheel just for Aki to drive while she's taking her test.
Yeah. There's like, a lot of questions about bureaucracy and how exams, like, yeah, exams work I guess in this episode.
It's BYOB, bring your own bike.
It's that, and also, like, I mean, there's gonna be a lot of me getting mad about, like, just cars and traffic in general in this episode, as a warning. But, and I live in Northern Virginia where traffic's pretty fucked up. Uh-huh. But, like, the fact that they can just take the exam without ever having ridden the bike in the first place, that's kind of insane to me.
What do you mean? They did qualifiers and shit.
For you?
Okay, well, alright. Okay.
Really?
She just rolls up and she's like, I don't know how to do this. Like, did they mention qualifiers at all, Audrey? Did I miss that? Or is, like, Aki just, like, fucking jump into the deep end?
I can't remember, honestly. But, I mean, she does certainly practice before the actual exam.
Right.
Yeah, it's indicated to us in the dub that, like, the way it works is that, like, she has her group of guys and they're, like, in a class, sort of, and they are practicing, and then once they get good enough at it, they can move on to an exam. And if they pass the exam, they're licensed to be a turbo duelist.
Mm. Okay, that's probably it. I have the media literacy of a 5-year-old.
But, like, they actually have to qualify to be able to take the final exam in the first place.
Right. That makes more sense to me.
Yeah.
There's some dudes here. Lou and Luke are there, and they're like, hey, Aki, you gonna enter the Grand Prix? And she says, no, I just want to see the world from Yusei's perspective. So she's not even doing this to, like, do the big race. She just fucking loves going fast. Thinks it kicks ass.
I feel like that's the case. Yeah, she wants going fast.
She likes
makes
the exhilaration.
Feel
alive. Yeah. She the wind in her hair.
When she's wearing a helmet, you can't see her hair. There's some funny guys who show up and say, hey, women can't drive. Uh-huh. That's what this episode's about.
Yeah.
Go home and play with dolls.
Yeah, I don't know if a girl could turbo duel. Don't you think, your tits are getting away or something? I don't know.
They use, like, I also wanted to note, like, a lot of the language, like, implies infantilizing since, they say, go play with your easy bake, go watch a boy band, and, like, I think Leo or Luna point out that she is, like, a senior.
Yeah, she's a senior.
Probably an adult.
Yeah, she's 17 years old.
Mm. Oh, no, she's 8. Isn't she 18 at this point?
No, she's 17. Yeah, I checked the wiki. She's 16 season 1, 17 season 2.
Oh, okay.
Didn't know that. I stand corrected. They're being real shitty to her, so, mm-hmm. She's gonna, like, do these dual courses. By the way, just want to quickly mention, the instructor, there's two specific things I want to mention about the instructor. One is the surface level one, which is, it's an Arlie Aramie impression.
That's funny. That's pretty good.
Yeah. And the second is that, he says that, like, a lot of, like, basically, since, like, the end of season one, turbo dueling has gotten really big. He used to run this, these courses, he used to do the lectures in the basement. And, like, it's just sort of like a big fad now. So he's just being really strict about it.
Yeah, he mentions on our end that, like, since the World Race Grand Prix is announced, like, everyone's trying to get their license, so the test is, like, just harder by default because not everyone can pass.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they start, like, to take the test, and all the guys crash out, and they keep fucking up, and Aki's, like, you almost get the feeling that Aki's gonna do great, but then she also continues to crash out and fuck up, and, uh-huh. like...
Yeah. It really is her just like getting up over and over again and going like, yes, getting kicked into tits was exactly what I wanted.
She loves skidding out on the fucking asphalt. It's great. It
yeah,
feels so good.
So her problem is like she's just going way too fucking fast around the turns and she can't keep control of her bike. Just every time she gets to the, she's doing great, she gets up to the turn and then just eats shit every time.
You know, riding a bike in real life is pretty dangerous, so yeah.
But once you learn how, you can never forget.
Yeah, and she eventually figures out how to drift, how to shift her weight, you know, when to hit the throttle during the curve, so on and so forth, that she doesn't fly out of control every time.
Right.
There is a nuts thing that happens here, which is that she goes from, like, not getting it at all to finally, like, being able to do, like, a 90-degree turn to doing full-on, like, Evel Knievel stunts.
Yeah,
in the span of 24 hours, mind you.
In, like, the span of a single day here. Like, it cuts away, and she, like, is doing, like, 3 full loops in a row, like, inverted loops.
Yeah, that's just part of the training course. You have to do
a
fucking
corkscrew. Oh, my God, yeah, I'm watching it.
It's fucking nuts. And she's the only one out of all the guys who makes it through this part of the exam, and Red Highlights Boy is just fucking pissed because women can't drive. And she has to do a graduation duel, and then before that happens, Yusei's like, Aki, there's one more thing I have to teach you. The back turn, which is like that insane maneuver that every single... I mean, in Yusei's defense, every single D-wheeler has to learn this because whenever you duel, you always have to turn around and like look at your opponent and taunt them sometimes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It is very funny, though, because, like, after Aki is done 3 loop-de-loops, like...
Right, what's the order she's learning this shit in?
Right, like, Yusei, like, approaches her with this, is like, okay, this is the last thing you have to learn. If you master this, you can master anything. I know you can. Which is like, I feel like the stakes here have changed, but he's like, all you need to do is learn how to motorcycle moonwalk. And you're
basically
good to go.
Yeah.
It's like, alright.
You gotta be the Michael Jackson of the road, Aki.
Part of the demonstration is, he does some, like, rom-com shit and takes her to the roller rink.
This, I genuinely love this scene so much.
It's cute.
It's really cute, it's really fun. You see Lua and Luca, like, kind of just, you know, leaning over the edge of the roller rink, watching them skate, and then Luca's like, I feel like a third wheel right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's not like this is a date or anything. And then as they go on, they're like, oh, this is totally a date, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Very much a, hey, we're here too sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
It's, yeah, yeah, right, yeah. Because
this is the show.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, fuck all to do otherwise.
Akizen, you say going around the roller rink while Tell It to My Heart plays. And they're... everything.
It's cute. It's fun. Mm-hmm. And they get back to Popo time. And the Crow and Jack have fully tricked out Aki's D-wheel. It looks badass now.
Well,
Crow did the brakes and Jack painted the frame.
Oh, in the dub, it's that Crow and Yusei did all the work and Jack provided moral support. Basically.
Yeah, I love my fail man.
Thank you, Jack the King Atlas.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie, if I had to trust Jack with one thing on the machine that goes very fast, it probably would be the paint job.
Yeah, right.
He gave them verbal encouragement. I believe this is what his words.
Very clinical term.
Listen, you can say many things about Jack, but he certainly has an aesthetic.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Not saying if it's a good one, just saying that it's there.
He's
got it. He's
got
the
it.
King, baby.
He's got a look.
So they go to the testing center, and Ushio is the license tester, and he straight up tells Aki the license test is designed to fail. And like you see the fucking the her classmates down the bleachers, and Highlights has like some kind of switch in his hand.
Yeah.
That is gonna presumably to activate a Disney split second style trap on the racetrack later on, who could say.
Uh-huh.
This duel is so funny. Because Ushio, like, immediately starts fucking with her the entire time. Like, hey, if you can't handle this during a test, you can handle it in a real duel. He's just, like, fucking, like, trying to, like, jostle her off the course.
Yeah, the vibe I got from it is he's trying to, like, be a bit of, like, a heel to her. Like, he's playing it up, but maybe a little too much.
Yeah, this is... That is definitely the feeling you get at the end, where... spoilers for 10 minutes from now, I guess. He's like, great job, you passed the test. And is like, yeah, clearly very happy that she did. He is definitely like, you can take Ushio out of the cops, but you can't take the cop out of Ushio, you know? Right. And I think he's like, particularly in like New Domino and Satellite, I think he'll probably always edge over to the side of brutality if he loses himself for a single moment.
For sure. Yeah, he's still the fucking beat cop that he was in like the first two episodes.
Yeah. He's funny. No matter how much he's
friends with the gang. Mm-hmm. He can just flip that switch and he's back in that mode. But yeah, one of the guys has a little switch, as we pointed out. They start the duel, and Akiza immediately tries to play a speed spell when she has no speed counters.
Yeah. Awkward. Even the duel, the fucking duel interface on the mic just goes,
error.
I like this. This is gonna be something that happens a lot in, like, the early parts of, Zexal. I really like that she just got the rules wrong.
She doesn't know how to play it good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really rare that we see someone misplay in that way, where they just try to do something that's illegal and the game just doesn't let them.
Uh-huh.
I like Ushio's deck is a little bit different, too, since he doesn't have the cop deck anymore. He plays, like, Hell Patrol archetype. I think it's localized as Stygian Street Patrol, but, like, it's like Hell Patrol and Hell Sergeant.
And they're still it's just cops, like, though.
What if cops were just like sewer freaks?
Demons.
What if like cops were bikers, but specifically like Mad Max bikers?
Yeah.
Demon bikers. Like Demon hell bikers.
Demons.
Yeah.
His like crowning, I don't know how much you guys want to talk about the duel. The only ones I really cared about were Jaw and Kick.
Jaw and Kick,
it's the, it's his, like, trump card. It's his, like, synchro summon monster.
Oh, yeah.
The Hell Sergeant. Yeah.
Yeah, that's,
multiple. Their names are Jaw and Kick.
Yeah, the card's literally called, like, Hell Whatever Jaw and Kick, and all I could think about was, Starsky and Kick.
Right. Yeah, it's such a fucking, late 90s TV show ass, Gargoyle Sharks. Yeah!
Clearly meant to be demon buddy cops.
Yeah. Right.
There's a really good, there's a line in the dub that's like, you know how a lot of cops like to do a good cop, bad cop thing? Well, they're bad cop and bad cop, or something like that.
Bad cop and worse cop. Good.
How do we feel about Akiza's dual runner, by the way?
It's alright.
It's nice.
I think the big wings on the handlebars are a little silly.
It makes it look like
it's kind of plain.
I like the red and yellow color scheme of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, there's a lot of fan art of Aki in this fucking jumpsuit, huh?
Yeah, you don't say.
I like it. I don't think it's as cool. I don't think it's as cool as Yusei's. I certainly don't think it's as cool as Jax, but it's like as cool as Crow's to me.
I really like Crow's as the thing, but I don't think it's as cool as Crow's.
I'm looking at Crow's design now. It's
really
the
big silly handlebars is the only thing that gets me is like how far those stick out. They just look goofy.
Nothing's as cool as Sherry's Butler's dual runner. Let's be real.
That's true.
His fucking Bentley.
You know, I'm looking at Crow right now. I'm looking at Crow right now, and it is just like not occurred to me that he has piercings on his headband.
Yeah, yeah. Why?
Which headband is the gay headband?
Bolted into his skull.
I did just Google it. I do want to say the name of the dual runner of Aki's dual runner.
Yes.
Because it's pretty good. It's called Bloody Kiss.
Oh fuck yeah. Ooh, that's great.
I'm thinking of Shotgun Kiss. That's an F-Zero song. Yeah, but it's like if you mashed up Bloody Tears and Shotgun Kiss.
Uh-huh.
fucking Bloody Kid. That's cool. That's badass.
Yeah. I wonder if the we know the other ones. We know what's Jax. We know Jax.
The Wheel of Fortune. the best one.
Yeah.
Yusei says like Yusei Go, right?
Is it now?
Let's see.
Okay. Yeah.
I believe it's Yusei Go.
They never get named.
Yeah, it's Yusei Go. Yeah.
What's Crow's? It's probably just like second. Black Feather.
Let's see. Crow's is Blackbird.
Blackbird. Nice. Sure is.
He does have like a blackbird on the back when he's like doing delivery work.
The cargo thing.
I like the blackbird.
Oh wait, I want to look at Sherry's. What's Sherry's?
Oh, Sherry's is fucking cool. It's like a mechanical.
No, no, no. I know. I want to know what the name is.
The Master Cycle Zero, I believe.
Sturm und Drang.
Oh fuck my god! Fuck off. Come on.
Oh, really good.
She's not German.
She's French, yeah.
She's Belgian.
What's going on? This is her secret.
She's Belgian. She's actually Belgian.
She's Swiss.
Stop. That's so good. Okay. All right. I'm so satisfied now. Thank you.
Let's go. Later on the duel, you know, things, she's going well, and then Highlights hits the split second button. And then, like, just an entire rack of metal pipes starts clanging down around her.
Why are these here?
Why are these here? In the practice course.
Why? I don't mind them being there. Why are they attached to a collapsible
scaffolding?
Right. Like, why are they attached to a collapsible stand that can be remotely operated?
Why does
this douchebag have the remote?
Well, I thought he put, like, explosive charges on it to, like...
Oh, does he? Did he? Is that what
happened?
That's
what it looks
like. I think it exploded. Yeah.
He, like, doesn't explain why they're right next to the track.
And also, how did he get, like, explosives on there?
Don't worry about it. It's so good. But she's like, oh, I have to be like you say, I have to ride like the wind. And then she, like, does the back turn. And she's just, like, fucking juking out left and right these freaking things. Like, she's just doing, like, 360 spins. It's crazy. Mm-hmm.
So, do we want to do a shot of speed for this?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
All right. Coming fast makes me feel
alive. Take a shot in hyperdrive.
As everyone prepares for their drinks, there are a couple things I do want to mention.
Yeah.
One is, I'm not sure if we see this card that we've seen this card that she summons before, but it's literally Sanji. She summons Sanji.
The Splendid Rose or whatever it's called.
Yeah,
this is new. This is Sanji Rose.
So that's just Sanji One Piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's Sarah McCostumes.
Yeah, he's got like this sort of patterned ballet uniform or a costume.
And, Splendid and it's Rose. Like, and his hair like curls over his eyes. It's just Sanji. And the other thing is that it's not just thinking about Yusei. Specifically, she's thinking about Sherry. Sherry telling her that, oh, I can feel Yusei in the wind. Don't you want to feel Yusei in the wind? And I'm like, yes, girl, let the homosocial guide you to victory. Anyway, what's everyone drinking?
Water.
Coke Zero.
Water.
Coke
also
Zero.
Water.
Ooh, spicy.
Also Minecraft.
Minecraft, delicious.
Yummy.
Aki dodges all the pipes. Splendid Rose attacks Ushio and wins. And everyone celebrates while Jack just, like, beats the snot out of the goons further down the bleachers.
Yeah.
Off screen.
Yeah, you just come back and you see him, like, on the ground.
We get enough on-screen Jack violence in the next episode. Oh, yeah. They decided.
Yeah, to Jack and from Jack.
Yeah.
Mostly from him, frankly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And everyone's celebrating. We even see Sherry up on a hill. Yeah.
Sherry's also here.
And she says some cryptic shit of all the players are now falling into place.
Mm-hmm.
And
she's talking about the threesome she's gonna have.
Exactly.
Yeah. Goodness.
And she and Aki and Yusei clasp hands, and he says, welcome to the world of riding duels.
Yeah.
She's going to get to do, like, two, I think, before the series is over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be like this. Yusei has two hands.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That does
Jack and Crow are holding them.
That does remind me. At some point, there, we want to like try streaming the, this, Wii game.
Wheelie Breakers.
Yeah, it, it does feature, Aki as like a rider before she gets this. And also, I think like Leo is a,
that motherfucker should not be behind the wheel. He's like 10 years old.
It's so funny.
He can't even see over it.
He can't even see
it's
over
like
it.
It's like Leo or Luna, maybe, I don't remember if they're separate or together. It's just really funny to me that they gave a, like a 10-year-old a motorcycle.
Mm-hmm. God. That's episodes.
Yeah.
That's episode, singular.
Let's episode. Talk about video games.
You
want to
talk about video games?
Oh, I'd fucking love to.
Been playing the hell out of Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth.
Pretty good.
Never heard of it.
I am on chapter 12 of 14.
Oh, you're close.
Yeah, I'm very close to the end. I have put a lot of hours into it thanks to a little special trick called unemployment.
hell yeah, brother.
There is some really neat stuff, in there. I'll talk about something, new. I would say it's a little bit of a spoiler, but, so, like, if you want to, like, go in completely
I'm
blind.
I'm reaching my fucking computer screen to strangle you right now. Don't do this shit.
Argyle, have
don't
you
do it!
Gotten to, have you, actually, yeah, if you don't want this, have you gotten to, like, chapter 8?
No.
Okay, then never mind. I'll talk around it then. But yeah, there's like a lot of cool stuff. It's got some great sub stories. It's got a like really good characterization of Kiryu. Since you know he's being thrust into being part of a party instead of like doing everything solo. It's fucking good. I really, really love all the walk and talks. Whenever you're like running around in the city, you'll get like different opportunities for like the party to chat with each other. And you know, it gives a lot of like, characterization. You might miss out on if you were just like, only doing the story. I'm trying to think of a good one, from like the first couple chapters.
Fucking lemonade stand?
Huh?
The lemonade stand?
Oh, the lemonade stand sub story is great. It's a cute story and, you get a mini game where Ichiban has to like, hand out lemonade to random people hanging out. And like, so you know which ones to give it to. They all have like some sort of clue. But the ones who don't want lemonade are like weirdly
they
hostile.
Lemonade so fucking much.
Yeah, like, Apple like,
juice. If that afro-haired freak walks toward you with that lemonade, I swear to God, I'll fucking kill him.
There's one that's like, apple juice is the king, all other juices are piss water.
The devil's
so
piss.
So fucking funny.
I unfortunately haven't done that one because I have not, like, gotten control of Ichiban during the day for multiple chapters. So I just...
Mm-hmm.
And they do have time-locked sub-stories where you can only do them during certain times of day.
Some of the characters, like, when you max out, when you get to, like, the last, like, bit of their relationship link, it's like, oh, meet this person at this time of day, and it is literally impossible to do that until you beat the game, because the way, like, the story, like, makes you walk around at certain times.
Yeah, I would say this game is very much, there's a lot of stuff in it, so I can see how it's, like, got a lot of, like, It's got a lot of stuff for you to do if you want to do premium adventure.
And you're probably gonna wanna. You gotta max out Don Doko. You gotta get all your Sujimons.
Done.
Speaking of like,
well, I don't have all the Sujimons, but I beat it. Yeah. I beat all.
You beat
of
it.
Yeah.
I also really love like a bunch of the new jobs in this game.
Oh my god, some of them are fucked up good.
Yeah, like housekeepers and Kunoichi are extremely powerful if you know what you're doing right. Like Kunoichi has a thing where it has moves that do more damage if you have more agility, and also it has moves that like if you take someone out or do a lot of damage, you'll increase your agility. And also keep in mind Chitose, who is the one who gets the job, has like a default move where she increases her agility. You can do some fun stuff with that. Also, like, Samurai has a thing where, like, certain moves let people, make people bleed, and if you make people bleed, then there are moves that'll do even more damage, if they're bleeding.
Samurai's arrow shot is, like, maybe the most powerful move in the game.
It's so good.
How it's just 1 million gun damage. Uh-huh. Here you go. And it costs 15 MP. Wow.
It's so cheap, just do it forever!
I did finally remember to like equip my Sujimon for Sujimancer, and that's also really fun. I did like a whole chapter as that. That was great. There's a really funny like move the move descriptions for Sujimancer are really funny. There's like, one that's like, lectures your opponent about, the ethics of Sujimon battling, and it makes them so bored they fall asleep. And there's another one that's like, this Sujimon does a cool attack while quietly wishing they were part of the main party. It's a good fucking game. It's really funny. I think like, one thing I will say about the story just very broadly, this is something Seven did, and I think Infinite Wealth doubles down on, is like, redoing certain like plot beats from earlier games, but like examining them in a new context. It's great. It really makes you like think about the characters and stuff. So that's it for me. Let's move on to, well, Max, I know, I remember what you wanted to talk about. Why don't you go?
I think Argyle and I are taking this jump together.
All right.
Yeah. It's Balatro.
Funny card game.
Poker. Heard poker? Of it?
I barely know her. What if poker was a roguelike? Okay, what if... Hear me out. What if you had a game where you start with a deck 52, but it's a deck builder? Consider that.
Yeah.
For the record, I never heard of this game until yesterday, and now it is all I've heard anyone talking about.
It's all anyone's been talking about.
It'll come for you too, yeah. Audrey.
This is my Omelas.
It's a game where you play poker, and you have to make it through 8 antes, and each ante is 3 rounds, but you can skip some of the rounds. But you have to beat the boss at the end, and you have to, you know, play hands that give you points, and you have to beat the cap of chips. But the thing is, between every round, you go to a shop and you can buy cards like jokers, which give you different different effects. You can get planet cards, which upgrade your hands, which give you a higher payout. Tarot cards that can alter your deck. Spectral cards that can really alter your deck.
Have some risk to them as well.
A lot of risk to them. One time I got a spectral card. It was the one that it changes all of your cards to the same rank. And I got all queens, baby. I had like 13 queen of hearts in one deck.
Holy shit. I've never seen that one, though. Imagine you're going for like a 3-of-a-kind, 5-of-a-kind, 4-of-a-kind, 5-of-a-kind build. That's just a godsend. You've beaten it now.
Yeah, I mean,
you're done.
Generally the best way to play the game is it's flush maxing, pretty much.
Yeah, I've gotten 2 wins off of straights, but flushes are also very good. Straight maxed.
Yes?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, just...
That's what we call them.
That's what we call them.
you creating... The word flush maxing like teleported me to another plane of existence. Yeah. I'm not here anymore. I can't do this.
Let me tell you, when you start playing Balotar, you're going to join me there because it's a fucking cool thing. It's a lot of fun. It's just designed so well. It's just really groovy music. Argyle was probably better to talk about it than I am because I've only beaten one run so far.
Really? Wow.
I mean, I don't post about that much.
Playing it a lot more than me.
I play like about half hour a day, pretty much.
Okay.
Like, yeah, I'll do like one or two runs after work and then get distracted, like, you know, with something around the apartment. But I beat a run. It's just like you get some crazy combos. One of the combos is like one of the most insane things where there's a Joker called Egg. And it's like
Egg.
It's an egg with like fucking Heath Ledger Joker makeup on it. And there's another card called, I think, the Knife.
Sacrificial Dagger
that whenever you enter the shop, the Joker to the right of that Joker, it will add double its resale value to your multiplier. The egg gains $3 in resale value every single round. So eventually you cut that egg with that dagger and, like, you're good. That's your run. You're done.
Done.
One of my friends showed me a deck they had that had, like, 32 aces of spades in it.
That's right.
Right. Hell
you
yeah.
You can do some insane things. Which, when you hit your first five of a kind, it's like something like snaps in your mind. You're like, oh my god, I didn't know.
I've never gotten a five of a kind, unfortunately. I've gotten a couple royal flushes, but no five of a kind.
Yeah. You can unlock a Joker by discarding a royal flush.
I was so tempted, but I was like, god, this run is pretty deep. I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. If I'm on round anti-five or later, I'm like, all right, I'm not going to buy Jokers I don't need just for my collection. I'm actually going to try and win now.
Yeah.
It's really great. It's $15.
It's $15. And I don't know. Something about it, it's clicked with me a lot more than most, like, any deck builder has before. I've played some Slay the Spire. It's really good, but I think how quick runs are, like, how easy it is to come up with a build with just, you know, the familiarity with poker. I don't have to learn a bunch of new rules or anything. Like, everything's pretty simple and laid out, and, like, they show you just like, okay, you have three enemies to worry about right now. The small one, the big one, and the boss. Small one and big one are going to be the same every time, and then the boss is going to have like a unique effect.
Yeah. Some of those bosses are fucked. The arm, go to hell.
I hate the arm. It's such a, yeah, I had a run last night that was so fucking busted in a bad way where it was like, I had a really good set of Jokers, but I ran into the arm and it was just like, congratulations, straights are now level zero. You get nothing off of them now. So I managed to get it to like level three before the final boss. And then I fucked myself because the final boss was the one where you have to sell a Joker or all your cards are debuffed.
Yeah, it's.
And I forgot to buy an extra Joker before I went in. Oh, and then I didn't move my Sacrificial Dagger to where it wouldn't kill one of my other Jokers. So it ended up killing one of them, and then I had to sell another one. So I had two fucking Jokers. I had the dagger, and I had the Dracula one that removes enhancements and gives you a multiplier. And I somehow managed to pull that shit out.
Fuck yes.
Like, I was not proud of it, but I fucking did it.
Win's a win, man.
A win's a win. And then you can keep playing on Endless, and I don't know if I want to even try that, because it's just like...
I did it once, and the numbers just get so big. I'm like, I can't get so big.
I got to anti-10 and died to the small blind, because it was like, you need 700,000 chips to beat this. And I said, okay.
Yeah, it's like, all right. Peace, bye.
Done. And I mean, that was before I understood how multipliers really worked, because they don't teach you any of this, you need to like shift your cards around to where you have a multiplier, like the plus multipliers and times multipliers are different. So you want to move the times multipliers later down the line so that they activate after the plus ones, cause you'll get bigger gains out of that. Good game.
It's fucking nuts. Good game. Fun game. Balotro. Audrey.
Hi, it's me. I'm playing the very new and cutting-edge game of Final Fantasy X.
Yeah!
Ha 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 ha!
Yeah.
I did get to Titus MP4.
It's a good fucking scene. I gotta say, I'm surprised you're a Titus person, not a Titus person.
Yeah, I mean... based on, like, Final Fantasy naming conventions, mm-hmm. I... assumed it had to do with, like, the tides.
Because he's a wet boy.
He is a wet boy.
He loves getting that big ball of water.
I do love how they just, like, people breathe underwater and it's fine.
It's normal. They love it.
That was a very fun thing. Yeah, no, I mean, it's always... it's probably Titus, but, like, they never say his name, but so... Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Titus to me.
Oh, hey, you!
It's all Titus to me.
It's all Titus to me. I will say that there are, like, elements of it that have held up particularly well. Shockingly well.
Oh, yeah,
I would
absolutely.
Say, for its age. Getting to some of those fully rendered cutscenes, they still look incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, once Square sort of figured out, you could say a lot of things about Square, Square Enix.
Not many good.
You can say a lot of things about Square Enix, but they've always been sort of at the top of the graphics game, I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
Regardless of anything else. And the fact that a game as old as Final Fantasy X still has, like, competitively beautiful graphics when they go all in. I mean, like, the not fully rendered cutscenes kind of look like ass, but, like, what do you expect?
Yeah, it looks better on PS2 than it does on the remaster because, like, the faces just got fucked.
Yeah.
No, they animate a lot more. They're more expressive on PS2. Just be, like, I don't know. It's like they put a fucking, like, plaster over everyone's face.
That's
crazy. The remaster. It's weird.
I've obviously been playing the remaster. So it's, you know, but, like, whatever. And it's fine. And, like, again, it has, like, sort of that usual modern Final Fantasy. I would guess that I would say is probably... no, it started earlier. I would say probably started with 7. I was about to say started with 10, but no, it probably started with 7. Of having a plot that, like, just doesn't quite click. Of, like, having, like, feeling like you're getting, like, 80% of the plot, which is enough for you to go along with it, but, like, 20%, it's like, hey, how come that happened?
Well, that's why you gotta play Crisis Core and Dirge of Cerberus and watch Advent Children. That's
why you get
the other 20% of Final Fantasy VII.
I don't remember if it's 10 or 10-2, but, like, there is supplemental material.
Yes.
And, like, that was the first Final Fantasy that, like, got supplemental material, like, before 7 started getting more shit.
There is supplemental material for both of them.
Okay, yeah.
So, but it's still like, but you know, if I pay for a game, I want to be able to play the game. So it has that sort of classic Final Fantasy issue. but you know, it's pretty good. Listen, it's a Final Fantasy game. You know what you're gonna get with them for the most part.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
There's some variation. The grid system is overwhelming, but, like, fine. The characters, I like the characters. Lulu is the hottest woman I've ever seen in my life.
That's right.
if this game came out now, Kamari would do absolute numbers everywhere. Mm-hmm. Good God.
Good God.
I can't imagine how many furries that man created.
I know someone who's, like, one of their oldest, like, OCs is a Final Fantasy Lion Man.
Aronso.
Yeah, I don't know if they're specifically supposed to be Aronso, but they are a lion. They're like this weird mix of, like, Cloud and, forgetting his name, the 8 guy,
Squall.
Cloud, Squall, and, like, Aronso, and, I fucking love it. Look up, like, Squall Lionheart or whatever. Cloud Lionheart. Great stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. Most people know about Final Fantasy X. I'm not bringing anything new to the table. It's a game. I'm enjoying playing it.
And that's what we all want, isn't it, folks?
Yeah.
Before we get back to the episode, I'd like to take a moment to thank our $10 patrons, who are Daniel Kalaskis, Dylan Orris, Jazz Dumpster, Kether Teradine, Maggie Rice, Nero Wyvern, Pagliacci Proto J, Quatra, Sabrina Steele, Sarvis, and Solid Snack. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for the money. Episode 76 of 5D's Proud Chaos King Archfiend.
Season 2, Episode 12, Sid is Vicious.
Oh my
god. Gotta say, pretty fucking good.
He is vicious.
Yeah. I mean, I did just put down Sid Vicious, ?
They weren't lying. That's Sid sure can vicious.
Absolutely correct, yeah.
Jack and Carly are participating in a sting operation at night because they heard of a gang that steals D-wheels, sells them on the black market for cash.
At the seashore.
And Jack needs money, so he's gonna capture them to get the reward from security.
Oh, that's fun.
Oh, yeah, we don't get that little element in the dub of him just going for the reward money. He's just tagging along with Carly because he likes to hang out with her, I guess.
Who wouldn't? She's nice.
She's great. We see, like, these guys, like, stealing the bikes. I like how they show it. Like, they're smashing a sensor with a bat and, like, clipping, like, cables with these, like, pliers or something. And then they, like, speed off.
Mm-hmm. And you had asked, while they're speeding off and Jack rolls up behind them and one of them shoots a weapon towards Jack, Dan, you had asked if it was edited at all, because it's like a very weird-looking laser gun. No, it's just a laser gun.
Yeah.
It's just a laser gun. He just has one.
He just shoots a big-ass laser gun and hits Kazuma, who's an undercover cop.
Shintaro Kazuma?
Yeah, that's right. That's what happened to him.
Kuma Oyabun himself.
I do want to talk about Jack's line before he engages them, which is that you band of D-wheel-stealing miscreants.
Yeah, these guys are miscreants for sure.
Just a good line from him. I liked it.
Jack is the kind of guy who uses that word very regularly.
Yeah, absolutely.
What a cool dude.
But yeah, this Kazuma, or Kaz as he's called in the dub, guy.
Uncle Kaz?
Yeah, Uncle Kaz. He rides in front of Jack to protect him from the laser beam that Sid has, and is knocked out. And Jack pulls over to be like, hey, what the fuck? Why did you do that? When Trudge pulls up and is like, this guy was an undercover agent. What are you doing, Jack? You just completely ruined this for us. Come on, man.
And he's like, basically comatose. He gets operated on and he's just like in like bedridden the entire time. He doesn't even get out of bed until the very end.
Yeah, they explicitly say he's in a coma in the dub.
Yeah. He's a top ranked D-wheeler, and then Jack sees his deck, which is like, I love it makes sense in this kind of world, but just everyone always has their deck with them as like almost like a totem of power. It's like right on his bedside table. So Jack grabs his ace card that's like conveniently on the top of the deck and he's like, I'm gonna go take them out. Doesn't go well.
It doesn't.
He like so, yeah. I love this shit. Jack gets his ass kicked like 3 times.
He goes
but
to
then he flips like 50 men, so like
he got the Zenkai boost, he's a Saiyan.
Well, he does have blonde hair. he like goes to a flea market and he's like, hey, if I wanted to, like, offload some D-wheelers, where would you want me to go?
This guy.
And, like, this guy, like, walks away, or, like, turns around and, like, hands him, like, a card over his shoulder. He goes there, and the guy is thinking to himself, this guy's so obvious. They're gonna, like, jump him at this location. And they do jump him at that location. And then he wakes up with, like, a fucking, he gets some guys, but it doesn't go well. Someone takes him by surprise, and,
Jumps from, like, a rooftop with a pipe and just slams him in the head, and he wakes up in the hospital.
Yeah.
With a classic head bandage.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. And he just immediately gets up, and, like, everyone's getting mad at him, and, like, you already, like, accidentally outed an undercover cop. You just got your ass kicked. You're gonna get your ass kicked again. And he just like gets up and storms off and just abandons the bandages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he just goes right out to meet the punks again. He finds them like transporting some dual runners or whatever, and he's like, all right, I'm here to kick your ass again. And we do get to see him kicking some ass, even in the dub, you know, punching That's and nice. Kicking some guys before he is once again subdued.
Knocked on the ground.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
It's great. Like, I really wish it just kept happening, but at this point,
it happens a couple more times. It's like the montage of him getting jobs and then getting fired from the jobs, except he's just getting his ass beat, waking up in the hospital, and then going to get his ass beat again.
Just more Jack montages, please.
I gotta say, these are some, like, Joey Wheeler ass, this is like a Joey Wheeler dedication to kicking ass.
A little bit.
We cut to the gang's, like, warehouse where they're breaking down the dual runners to be smuggled out of the city or whatever. And Jack busts in through the door on Wheel of Fortune. He found where this was because he put a little tracking device on Gus, the merchant from before. Or Gussie, as Sid calls him.
Yeah. Oh, I wish he wouldn't.
Wish he wouldn't.
He sure did call him Gussie.
Gussie, in the end, his fucking accent, great.
He's not British in the dub. No, has Guido voice. Gussie. That was Australian.
I thought you meant Jack called him Gussie. I see.
Yeah, Sid called him Gussie.
Yeah, okay. And Sid, the leader, who's like, Sid looks like, he has like Giovanni's face from the Pokemon anime. It was very distracting to me.
He's Sid Vicious.
He does, yeah.
He's Sid Vicious. And he's like, oh, you got me. Well, in the time, Jack's like, I've already called security here. And so Sid just says, well, all right, well, we're waiting for them to show up. Do you want a duel? And
for fun.
Like, Jack just, he's just like, you don't have to. What, unless you're chicken.
Nobody calls and Jack like, Atlas a chicken.
Yeah, he like taunts, he's like former king. So Jack accepts, but we get some fucking, like, duel monsters ass dueling stakes here.
Oh, yeah.
This is a season zero duel. So, this like facility has like a conveyor belt that like splits off into two directions. On each end is a trash compactor. They go to the middle where it splits. The conditions are this. Every time you lose life points, the conveyor belt pulls you further back. You're bolted down so you can't like walk forward or anything. You lose all your life points. You fall in the trash compactor.
Mm-hmm.
For the Saw fans out there, this is kind of like a reverse pound of flesh.
This, it's kind of a Saw trap.
This is straight up a Saw trap. It is also literally the Pandora duel from Duel Monsters.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they're attached on the ankle to certain death. It gets closer when they lose life points.
Yeah.
And
there's an important, like, season zero duel condition as well. Sid is cheating. He has like a thing set up so that it won't actually like dump him in when he, if he loses the duel. So it's the only way it can possibly come out negatively is either nothing happens or he wins and kills Jack Atlas.
Right, it's less that he's cheating and more that he doesn't have stakes, because he's still dueling, he's not cheating while he duels.
Yeah, the duel's fair.
The duel's fair, and the duel's fine. I did get really excited when Jack played Polymerization.
Uh-huh. Yeah!
I don't know if we've seen Fusion at all in 5Ds until now.
Yeah.
I feel large like we have, but
oh,
like,
no, we have, once. Because I've seen this guy before. It's Large Peace Golem. Yeah. You know him.
I like him. He looks like a fucking, like, wall of the Hoover Dam.
yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, he's a golem, but he's like, he's more like a construction.
I think that was definitely what they were going for.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's like a castle, you know?
Yeah. I also gotta say, I love the illustrations of the guys that are used to make him. They're like fucking big swamp ass rock men.
It's funny.
I was not interested, I'm going to be honest, in most of this duel.
It's whatever,
except
it's fine.
Except that Sid's deck is literally just Saw traps.
Yeah.
Like, how get into the torture wheel.
Mm-hmm. The torture wheel.
You want me to go in there? Get in the wheel. Just point at you.
Go in there. Where? The torture wheel.
The device. The device, the contraption. And as the duel progresses and Jack's getting close to death, he says, oh, by the way, Jack, security's not going to be coming because we're in the castle from Like a Dragon to Gaiden. We're on a big fucking tanker ship.
How did you not notice you were on a boat, Jack? How did you...
Yeah, we see unrivaled powers of perception.
Yeah. We fucking see the our heroes like go to like the point that was on the tracker, and it's just water. It's just the edge of the fucking docks.
The warehouse district.
It's the warehouse district.
Fucking great! What a good bit. It's funny.
The only other notes I have on the duel is that Jack plays Nightmare Archfiend Token. These guys are really cute.
Yeah, they're like almost like sketch drawings of like evil looking ghosts.
Yeah. They're just funny little guys. He plays Kaz's signature ace card, Chaos King Archfiend.
Yeah. This guy's cool. I like that he has like two different flaming pot body parts.
So here is my thing about Demon Chaos King's design is that I like it, but it does look like the knockoff of something better.
I mean, to be fair, there's so many fucking Yu-Gi-Oh cards even at this point that almost everything seems like a knockoff of something better.
Yeah, I don't know, there's just like something about the way the details worked in it. I was like, I like it, I do like it.
I think what it is
feels like serial numbers have been filed off.
I think what it is to me is that, I mean, A, this is like not part of Jack's deck aesthetic. This is just some other guy's card that works with his deck. I mean, it's like, yeah, it's this weird, like very thin, spindly dude with like red and purple and black, like almost like latex looking on him. And then like flaming wings and also flaming like gallade arm blades that pop out from him. And then he is like a white, like a bone mask, and like a smoking, his hair is like smoke billowing out of the back of his head. But I mean, I think the design is definitely reminiscent of a lot of earlier Yu-Gi-Oh designs, but I think also it just, to me at least, comes across that way because all the other main characters have such very like concrete and cohesive deck themes that seeing just like an edgy dude on fire, like, who the fuck is this guy?
Uh-huh. It's a very eclectic design.
Yeah, he's just a dude.
Yeah, I mean, we're never gonna see him again, so it's whatever.
It reminds me of that one episode of Monster Factory where they played, like, heroes online, and one of the randomly generated ones, Griffin's like, if this guy was rescuing me, like, I would try to wiggle my way out, like, 5 feet in the air while he's putting me down. Like, I'm just like, get away from me, who cares? Mm-hmm. Would you believe that Jack wins the duel, though?
Yeah,
he does.
Uh-huh.
And this guy should have died. I'm mad. This is the biggest disappointment I've had watching this show in weeks.
Yeah, this dude didn't get crushed into a pulp.
He should have been compacted.
Yeah, the like thing he set up to like not fall to his death.
This is like a flap of metal that's supposed to flap the conveyor belt.
This guy is not known for his brains, Argyle.
This is probably he did a fucking life hack.
He fucking life hacked his way into this, and it fucking breaks. And he's about to like get crushed. Like he barely avoids getting like squished into hamburger meat between two large crushers when Jack pulls him out.
And he does, and then while security is, like, helicoptering over, Jack does some Cosmic Kiryu shit to the entire hangar. We don't see it happen. Getting beat up twice gave him the Saiyan Zenkai boost because he, like, when they show up, there's a body, like, a pile of bodies. He's just like, took you guys long enough.
He brought some staminas with him this time.
Yeah.
Impossible to say if it's bad or good that he got beat up all those other times.
Yeah.
if this is the result.
He got better. And he returns Kazuma's card to him and says, security's pathetic for not being able to take out the gang. I had to do it myself.
Oh my god. Yeah, we don't get
any of that. Even in victory, he's a little Little stinker.
He's just like, here you go, Kaz. I'm sorry about what I did. I had to take responsibility for my actions after, like, knocking you out. And Kaz was like, oh, thank you so much. You know, this has really helped out sector security. We were able to make a lot more arrests off of this, off of the information that we got out of those guys. And then he's like, I'd like to duel you sometime, Jack. And Jack says, I'd never turn down a duel. It's a deal.
Yeah. And they clasp hands, just like Yusei and Aki did.
Back to blue.
That's right.
Jack has to force the thin blue line.
That's right.
The like complete stunned silence after I said that.
Yeah. I mean, what do you say to that?
Did our listeners not know that we're a pro cop podcast? Yeah.
Do we have notorious bootlickers? The Pod of Greed podcast.
I talk about how much I love Ushio all the fucking time. Uh-huh. It should be obvious. Well, now it's time, I think, for some questions. We got a lot of good ones this week. If you want to send us questions, you can send us there. Therm? What the fuck? Twitter at Pod of Greed Cast, Tumblr at Pod of Greed, or our Millennium Bag Discord channel. We make questions post before we record, and you send them in, and we will answer them, such as this first question from Twitter, from M. Healy, at M. of Healy. What would you buy from the black market in Minecraft? Parody.
Laser disc.
Yeah,
ooh.
Why do you need to go to the black market to get a laser disc?
They don't got them no more.
They discontinued.
If I had to use the black market for an unscrupulous purpose, I would buy exotic insects and arachnids.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's predictable. Dan mentioning laser discs made me think of other things that you can't get in the U.S. anymore. So, Kinder eggs.
The original formula for Loco.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, that's a good one. It's only gotten better with age.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe like shrooms. Some of the less addictive and dangerous.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Still illegal drugs.
True. Yeah.
Can you make those yourself?
I mean, you can grow them. It's literally just the mushroom.
It's a plant.
I had a friend who did that, and he would, like, I mean, this isn't, you know, outing him. This is just, like, a random friend of mine. But he would, like, show me his progress. I'm like, damn, you can just do that. Crazy. Yeah.
God, it was nuts. When I was in the Virgin Islands, I went into a souvenir store, and they had, like, a whole, like, dispensary section, which was crazy. Yeah. And I was looking over, and I was like, oh, damn, I didn't know weed is legal here. And then the guy's like, yeah, and here's our shroom stuff. And I was like, shrooms are legal here?
Holy hell.
Ooh. What? And he's like, it's no man's land down here.
You can just do it.
Yeah, that was not seeing like legally viable shrooms.
Wouldn't it be fucked up if in Mario you get the mushroom and he trips balls? I just thought of this.
I think you should make a Newgrounds game about that.
Next question. That'd be so sick, dude. And what if he cursed a lot too?
Yeah. What if when he jumped on an enemy, the enemy like got all bloody.
Oh, it was like a pile of blood and guts. Fuck, that's badass.
What if Peach was super sexy?
Yeah, next question.
Oh, what if her fucking boat on honk loose throughout the whole time? All right.
Christ alive.
I'm normal again, everyone.
What's our next question?
Read our Discord questions.
I'll read
the Discord questions.
Alright.
First question from Dark Arm Dad Tequila Zaku. What sick trick should be mandatory to get you a driver's license?
Using your fucking turn signal.
I was gonna say buckling your seatbelt, but yeah, say bye.
They already have one of those. It's called the 3-point turn.
I was gonna say raise the age to 18 and be able to concentrate while getting roadhead, but.
Hell, you know what? They need to like, they,
who's
they
administering
do need to like
the
teach.
Head?
They do need
driving instructor.
The proctor. How else are they going to see if you can pass?
Roadhead is how the plot of the book Thinner began. So I think it. I think
I guess
as
I'm volunteering to be a driving instructor now, huh?
uh,
It's not much, but it's honest work. Sorry, Dan.
That's cool. So, yeah, I was gonna say, Roadhead is how the plot of the book center began. So as our aging population, grows heavier and heavier, we need to ensure that, no, like, racist curses happen to anyone.
Mm-hmm. I'm always concerned about this.
I just don't want them to remake Crash ever.
Uh-huh.
God.
Next question from Shadow Sandbag. What's the most important rule of the road?
Use your turn signal. That one is use your turn signal.
Use your turn signal. Fucking check and turn demonstrate signal basic awareness and safety and regard for your fellow human beings who are getting in a screaming metal death trap, which is easily the most dangerous thing you do every single day.
As I said last week, if you're on a fucking highway and you want to shift lanes, put it on before you do the shit. Don't do it as you're doing it, dumbass. You're not. Oh my god.
Ooh. Stop trying. I'm getting mad.
Stop trying to sneak it through the intersection, by like, you know, stopping right after it, you know, like turns red.
Don't block the box.
Don't block the box.
Yeah.
And another question from Shadow Sandbag. Two cars are approaching a four-way stop. One's going straight from the south entrance of the intersection. The other's going straight, coming from the west entrance of the intersection. Both cars reach the four-way stop at the same time. Which car is the right-of-way? I believe it's the one on the south, because you
it is, it is the south. The right-of-way goes to the driver to the right of you. Yep. So traffic generally flows in a clockwise manner.
Asterisk in the United States.
In the United States. Yeah. We love cars more than anyone else. So that's what matters.
That's right.
Yeah.
We're all American here. Sarah's not here to correct
us. Yeah, we all love our Ford Broncos.
We love our Ford. We love our Hummers.
F-150.
We love our Ford F-450s, our Ram 3500s.
And the 10 children that can sit in front of them without being seen.
Mazda 2.
We have cameras on the front of the truck now so that you can see all the children before you hit them.
Mm-hmm. Christ alive.
You gotta rack up them fucking points.
Yay. Next question from Keith Carradine. What illegal operation would you set up on a boat?
These days, probably anime streaming.
Yeah, you know what?
Am I right, folks?
Am I right, folks? Crunchyroll can eat my ass.
Going to set up, the first floating island nation of furries.
Right-wing comedy shows. You're not allowed to be funny anymore, folks.
Yeah.
Because of woke.
Because of woke.
Yeah.
Pronouns.
And pronouns. Cronouns. Thank you.
Shogi parlor.
Not even a gambling one, just like a normal shogi.
You know what? Bootleg clothing factory.
Yeah.
It's called Shein.
Mm-hmm. Next question from Crash Underride. Is this the horniest an episode of Yu-Gi-Oh! Has ever been? No.
Certainly not.
The horniest Yu-Gi-Oh! Has ever been is actually the penguin episodes during the Noah Kaiba arc.
Uh-huh. Only in the sub.
Is that
they were?
Yeah.
The season zero episode where they're like, Yugi's just like staring at Taya's tits the entire time is up there.
That's true. There's also all that.
Good.
Whatever the fuck Kaiba was up to in the dark side of dimensions.
Yeah. That was pretty horny.
Very horny.
There is like the part in season zero where they straight up just like pass porn to each other, and Jonouchi's like, "Here's the tape."
That's right. Yeah, I forgot. Fuck, I forgot.
Where they like straight up give each other porn. Where Jonouchi straight up gives Yugi porn in the middle of the home room.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
Yeah.
Season zero is so good. Next question from Solid Snack. Any Code Geass fans on the pod enjoying seeing that Aki's speed duel get up makes her a near complete copy of Colin Kozuki.
So
when I was a
I was gonna say fan is probably a strong word for my feelings towards Code Geass, but I did, however, watch it the whole way through.
Sorry.
And it's pretty similar.
It's very similar. For me, it was like knowing more about Code Geass than Yu-Gi-Oh! 5Ds as a kid. Certainly, I knew Duel Monsters, now is it. But like, I would just be like, why is this artwork of Callan looks like a little bit off? And I didn't realize that's Aki. Let me tell you, Aki's fucking a lot cooler than almost any other character, really.
Yeah.
Aki should get to pilot whatever the... What the fuck was Callan's mech called? I don't remember. Who cares?
Next question from Kirby the Cleric. Nobody cares about Code Geass. Sorry. Did any of the hosts have a secret base when they were younger? Yeah, in Pokemon Sapphire.
Yeah, which I always liked putting it... I would always put mine... There was like a little fucking... I think a cliffside south of Mauville City by the water. Mm. That's where I would put mine.
I think I like putting mine, like in the forest area south of Four Tree City.
That is prime fucking real estate.
Yeah, the zone with all the long grass and everything. I love that area.
Yes.
I kind of had like an actual secret base when I was like younger than 8.
Damn, fuck us, I guess.
All right. So in the first house where I lived, we had actually backdoor neighbors. So we had like a line of hedges that separated us from the property on the other side of our backyard. And they had kids that were the exact same age as me and my sister. Mm. A girl was the same age as my sister, and then a pair of twins who were 1 year older than I was. And so we like crushed down a section of the hedge so that we could freely pass back and forth between our 2 yards. And right next to that section was a giant forsythia bush. And it was like next, it was like a giant forsythia bush, and then there was like a big rose of Sharon tree, and like the forsythia bush was like absolutely big enough for a few like small kids to like hang out in. Mm-hmm. And so we did that.
That's cool. The simple joy of hanging out inside a big plant as a kid is largely unrivaled.
Hell yeah.
Being just sort of the age that I am, of where I was in sort of the cusp of millennials, of being really old enough to grown up without like any digital media, basically, until middle school, I think was a fundamentally good thing for my childhood, I'm not gonna lie.
It's nice just being able to be outside.
Yeah. As terminally online as I am now, right. As an adult.
We all got worse, but for a beautiful period of time in our childhoods, we were doing okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I'm better now. Last question from Hornmeister. Is there a material possession that is currently illegal to acquire in your place of residence, which you would buy immediately if you lived in a jurisdiction that allows it outside of weed?
That's legal where I am.
Same here. I mean, again,
here.
Some of those other drugs, probably.
Can I legally own, I mean, like, what... In terms of, like, weapons, not like a gun, but, like, is there an upper limit to how big a sword I could legally own? Probably not. Virginia's pretty okay about that kind of shit.
Yeah, I don't know what Rhode Island says about edged weapons.
Oh.
Large blades.
I know what I would go for. Firecrackers. Which I know are... Have divisive, that the people in this chat have divisive opinions about.
I think they're fun.
But I think when they're not being set off every night for hours at a time, for 2 weeks in July, when it's just like you and a bunch of friends in like the middle of nowhere, like.
That's fine, yeah.
Yeah, like, those fucking bottle rockets. Off, yeah, that could be fun.
Like, pew! Setting off. Like, yeah, like, again, like, these are not going to be, like, display-grade firecrackers, then I think that's fun and nice, and they are certainly not legal in New York.
New York is, like, very strict with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they are. Doesn't stop people from doing that shit every year anyway, but...
Mm-hmm. A serval cat.
You know? Pets, good pick.
But they shouldn't be in captivity.
No, I know. I don't want any stupid big animals. I want a Gundam. Those are illegal. I don't know. I'm not really interested in drugs or like weapons, so I don't. I'm pretty cool with what I've got.
Put that on a t-shirt.
There's no amiibos that are illegal, so
yeah, right.
I'm good.
Yes, I'm just trying to imagine, like, oh, I don't know what the legality of this is, but I would love to have one of those, like, plastic Pokeballs that got discontinued because a child could suffocate on them or something.
Sure, a child can suffocate on fucking anything.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're not special.
They're not special. They don't make Home Depot buckets illegal.
God, I remember having one of those plastic Pokeballs. It was cool as hell.
I have a 3D printed Pokeball planner that Katie got me. Doesn't really help. It's not even circle, it's a square. Because you gotta put a plant in it.
That's not a fucking Pokeball. It's a Pokecube.
It's a Poke Block, which is a different
thing. No, Pokeblocks are a different thing. Don't try and
trick me.
That's
food.
I always wanted to eat those fucking things.
Yeah, I wanted to eat them too. I wanted to eat Pokeblocks. I wanted to eat Poffins.
Yeah, let's
eat Poffins so bad.
We need to do some
We are Pod Agreed. You can find us on Twitter at Pod Agreed Cast, podagreed.tumblr.com, on Discord at joywheeler.dog or kaiba.online. You can go to patreon.com/podagreed to join our Patreon, where for $1 a month you can get access to our entire bonus feed, latest of which is another VOD of Dan playing Duelist of the Roses, a game that is very fucking difficult, it seems.
Mm-hmm. We killed White Shoddy.
Yeah, we met a version of Shoddy who was white. It was fucked up.
I hated that man.
So scary.
Sarah and I were also there, but we were not contributing to the gameplay.
No, you were contributing to the conversation.
Yeah, that's much like Jackie more provided important verbal encouragement. Shitty game. Exactly. A good paint job. And many other things, such as movies and shows that Sarah's worked on, Fast and Furious, Minions, things like that. Fast 9 was just posted recently because we hadn't gotten around to it since the writer's strike ended. But tune into that. At $5 a month, you get all that, plus a special role in Discord where you can listen to episodes live, and you get your name read aloud at the end of the episode. So thank you to Emery, Joel Thomas, Morg Haunting the Morgue, Riley Hopkins, Shadow Sandbag, and Sylvia Crow. Wow.
Thanks so much for giving us
your money. Thank you for
and
your $5.
Yes. At $10, you get a shout-out in the middle of the episode, as aforementioned, and you get a yearly care package. The year is still very young. We're still working on things, but it's gonna kick fucking ass. Let me tell you what.
We're trying to accumulate funds. We've got some really cool things in mind.
Yeah, be good, and you'll get it.
Be good, sweet boy.
Be good. I'm. speaking of sweet boys, I'm Max. You can find me on Twitter, Max Bajillion, Tumblr, Max Bajillion. My other shows are on hiatus because, goddamn, you turn 30 and your life just goes fucking nuts. But they are Mobile Suit. Nope. I almost said a name. I said a name of a different Gundam podcast. Jesus. Wow, Cool Robot about Mobile Suit Gundam. Never mind
you
the Trollocs about
Suit
Amazon's
Breakdown.
Wheel of Time. Yeah, listen. If you want to listen to a good Gundam show instead of mine, listen to Mobile Suit Breakdown. And Stoppers Only about video game music. Popcorn Audrey.
I'm Audrey. You can find me on Tumblr, Twitter, co-host, and Blue Sky at Optimum on Prime. That's my funny robot internet joke. If you want to know more about it, you should listen to the other podcast I do with friend of the show, Nero, called Prime Cuts. It's about Transformers. We're in the middle of Earthspark, and it's still whipping absolute ass. Great show. Beautiful to look at. Incredibly well written. Check it out. I've also been cast in a radio drama that with Sarah that we should have more information about very soon. And that is me. So, Argyle, what's up?
Hi, that's me, Argyle. You can find me on Twitter at Argyle_Funk. You can also listen to my Yakuza podcast. It's called Kamurocho Radio. We're trying to get back into the swing of things. We did two episodes in a row. Like, 2 weeks in a row we had episodes, is what I'm trying to say here. Yeah, we're going to finish Yakuza 4. Hopefully, we're going to record that last episode tomorrow and then move on to Yakuza 5! Yay! Woohoo! So yeah, give it a listen. It's a lot of fun. I did a lot of math on the latest episode. That should be up by the time this is out. So check it out. Popcorn Dan, of course.
Yep. You can find me at a lot of places. You can find all those places at figurechallenge.card.co. And that concludes my two other active podcasts, the Sonic Hustle, a Sonic, a complete and total Sonic lore podcast. We're going through Sonic Adventure 2. I should, be getting an episode edited up soon. And you can listen to Video Games, the movie, the podcast, a, video game movie review podcast I do with my friend Maxi. We had to delay the recording, but, we will soon be doing an episode on, the Mega Man fan film. What I've seen so far, it's got Dr. Light, with wooden acting, and it's got, a guy playing Dr. Wily who is hamming it up and being a complete cartoon character.
So Dr. Wily then.
Yeah, he's being Dr. Wily. It's great. It fucking whips. Tumblr, bigger challenge. Co-host, big challenges. If you visit my YouTube channel, which is also big challenges, you can look, you can watch my, Let's Play of Small Saga I'm doing with, Emery and Patrick, friends of the show. And, that is it. Let's see.
That's us then.
Yeah. We already said who we are, right?
Yeah, we did. Now it's time.
Yeah, we said everything. I set myself face down and I fall into a trash compactor and end my podcast.
I set my singular mono tip face down and end my turn.
I set myself, face down on the grass to, recover from, a nasty road wipeout and end my turn.
I sat myself face down and put my head in my hands as I remembered that I failed my whip learner's permit test the first time because I didn't know what a pedestrian crossing sign was. My brother tried to get my ass for it, but then he failed it the first time he took it too. So, jokes on you, Sam.
Peach.
I passed the first time.
Hell yeah!